This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row studios in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Shalom.
Beautiful day outside. Sun streaming through the blinds,
oh,
Rog.
You look beautiful. That sun and the blinds just on your eyes. You look vibrant.
I do. I feel vibrant today. I don't know why I'm in such
why
a good mood.
Why are you
mood.
So happy?
It could be because Chelsea won this weekend. It's something I haven't experienced a lot in
enjoy
the last seven and a half
can,
years.
Enjoy it you can, young man.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it.
Even I feel pretty good. I'd give myself a C+
That's
for happiness.
That's high grade for you, for happiness. haven't seen a C+ for a while, Rog.
I'm veritably bouncing.
I know, it's amazing stuff. You've also been enjoying the baseball playoffs, Rog.
Been a bit baseball bonkers.
Yeah.
Past 10 days, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Which is rare for me.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure we've talked that much about baseball on the podcast before.
When I first came to America, I adored, adored baseball. I think I've said before, watching it, I felt like I was watching chess with chewing tobacco.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Chicago, the great Frank Thomas White Sox teams.
Yeah.
I'd go and sit in the bleachers at Cubs games every afternoon, marvel at Mark Grace and Ryan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. But the more football that there started to be on American television, the less baseball I could watch. You know, just keeping up with English Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, MLS. And we just started to force it out of my life until I stopped watching it completely.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I've got to say, like many in America right now, the romance of these playoffs just sucked me back in. Mm-hmm. Like Wayne Rinstone and Sexy Beast. No. Amazing. Totally. I mean, even though it is bloody slow, it's a bloody slow sport. It's like watching West Brom play Sunderland for back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Seven times in a row.
Yeah. But wow, that Dodgers-Mets series. Fantastico.
Yeah, I don't really watch a lot of baseball, Rog. And I've been in America for a long time. I've been to a few baseball games. I enjoy it when I go, but I don't, you know, I'm so committed to basketball and especially preseason. I probably enjoy preseason NBA basketball more than playoff basketball. I love the preseason.
Well, at least the preseason counts for something.
Yeah.
Because the regular season doesn't.
Yeah, Gary Kahn, who is our accountant here at the Embassy Row Studios in the crap part of Soho. He loves the New York Mets. And I can basically figure out how the Mets are doing by the speed with which he's walking to his office in the morning. He just has a little gait about him when the Mets are doing well.
I was going to say by the amount of money he's embezzling from you.
No, he doesn't. Gary wouldn't do
if
such a thing.
If he's embezzling a lot of money,
he's a lovely,
Mets not
honest
doing so
human.
Well.
Gary would never do such a thing.
Oh, it's always the ones that seem honest that are the great embezzlers.
No, not true.
But I say, the
he's
Mets.
He's one of the good ones.
Being an Evertonian, it does make me feel an enormous amount of empathy for Mets fans.
Yeah.
And watching them toil under, one would say, rather unfair conditions momentarily against the Dodgers, and then seeing their old player, who I really love, the ginger beard of Justin Turner.
Oh, you love a ginger.
Oh, this is a man whose predecessors look like they've laid siege to medieval castles and ridden Viking longboats out on a raiding party or two in his past. Jacob deGrom, David. Oh, that head.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you've got, I mean, you've got to picture this. This is a man who's not just content
paint
to dominate
picture.
Batters. But he wants to rub it into all bald faces while he's pitching.
How much hair he's got?
He's got. It's just a swollen abundance. It almost needs.
You mean like Carl Martino?
It almost no. It's like he slayed several Carl Martinos, woven their hair into an enormous hair blanket, and then attached it to his baseball cap. It is the thickest. It almost needs its own collective now. Yeah. I mean, when I first saw it, Davo, I was convinced his hair was fake, and he was wearing a Halloween costume, where he'd had lots of hair actually just attached to his baseball cap and he was bald underneath. But then I saw that he was wearing the same look with his batting helmet too, and I thought, no one's going to go to that length to try and mask their baldness.
So he has the hair density of a chinchilla.
Yeah, I actually tweeted out, no one would go to those lengths to mask their baldness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the fake Matt tweeted, well, Hulk Hogan and his red bandana. But irrespective, Dave, I say Mets Cubs is just a sporting tussle, whether you like baseball or don't like baseball for the ages. It's the equivalent, I can only think of what it will feel like if England and the US get to a World Cup semi-final.
Although I worry,
or Everton Spurs.
The Royals and the Blue Jays. Nobody seems to be caring about the Royals and the Blue Jays.
The who?
The Royals and the Blue. They're also playing a championship series of some variety.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
In the global something. And nobody seems to care about them. They just seem to care about the Cubs and the Mets.
Narrative, mate. I mean, you and I care about a sport, soccer, that has no narrative.
Soccer.
We just like it just for its pure athletic brilliance. We don't wallow in narrative, David. Yeah. Baseball needs narrative. And that series has got loads of... Incidentally, Mets hero Daniel Murphy, huge soccer fan. Massive, massive Spurs fan.
Wow.
Visited White Hart Lane a couple of times. He's the Eric Dyer of the postseason.
Oh, the Dire Wolf.
Hoping very soon to get him on the pod.
Our beloved Buffalo Bills have been training with Tottenham Hotspur appearing, making signatures.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting stuff. Can't wait for that game. Well, Sunday, Rog. The Bills.
9:30 a.m.
Are available anywhere, as long as it's Yahoo Sports, on any device, as long as it can handle video. That's the Bills versus the Jaguars.
It's going to be amazing. Very few of the stars actually playing. We managed to kill most of those off by interviewing them.
And yeah, and another one's got a visa problem. I've been trying to figure out who it is because it's probably somebody else we interviewed.
When Kyle Williams went down this weekend.
It was the worst.
A wonderful man.
It was the worst. Lovely
nothing
man.
But guilt. Nothing but guilt. Meanwhile, the big news story in the country the Bills are currently in caught our eye in the English press from The Independent, Dave.
Oh, big story. I love this, Rog. Drunken duck injured in brawl with dog after drinking session at local pub.
This is taken from the national page of the of a English quality newspaper.
Yeah, The Independent. I would say that English headlines are sometimes somewhat misleading, Rog.
Not this one.
Okay, we'll see. A Devonshire duck, Rog, known as Star, has badly injured his beak after brawling with a dog following a drinking session at his local pub. The bird, known as Star, is recognisable by his vast array of bow ties and a penchant for ale. But last week, Star got into a fight with one of the pub's dogs, Meggie.
Do him,
and
Star,
had to be
him.
Rushed to the vets with a painful injury that left the Haymans, we don't know who the Haymans are,
I guess
fearing
Star's mummy and
for
daddy.
The duck's life. Meggie and Star love each other to bits, but also wind each other up. Star pushed his luck too far, and Meggie snapped, splitting Star's bottom beak right down the middle, Star's owner wrote on Facebook. Star was given painkillers at the vets. Ooh. According to the Mid-Devon Gazette, oh, sorry, I did the wrong accent there, Mr. Heyman asked whether the duck would be left with a lisp after the fight, which could affect the double axe performance. Oh, we didn't realise they were in show business, but was reassured that Star's vocal capabilities would be intact.
Oh, thank God.
That's a big story in Devon, Rog.
I'm not quite sure what this story means, David, but in the same way as Orwell's Animal Farm was a parable about, you know, communist Russia, I feel somewhere in this story about what's a duck called?
It's a terrible shock for me. I took Animal Farm at face value.
Star the duck, the bow-tie, the ale-loving duck without a lisp.
Yeah.
I think somewhere in there is the meaning of the decline of the British Empire is just buried in that.
You see that in everything.
It's got decoded.
In truth. Okay, Rog, BlazerCon coming up. It's only weeks away now, November 13th and November 14th in Brooklyn. Ticket details at meninblazers.com. We have new announcements, Rog. Exciting new announcements. BlazerCon announcements. Go ahead, Rog.
Yeah. I don't know what they are.
Okay. Well, Steve Parrish. We said it on the TV show last night. Steve Parrish from Crystal Palace
the
is going to be
Steve Parrish.
Joining us. The great Steve
Love
Parrish.
That, man.
Old Colfian Steve Parrish from Colf School.
You should explain
in South
exactly what that means.
London.
Turns out when I brought Steve Parrish back into Davo's little den at the back here, the two of them just kind of did a secret handshake.
Yeah. Went to the same school.
And then kissed each other on the mouth.
Yeah, that's how we did it at Colf's.
Which is the signature move of Davo's school.
We're Colf's boys, we're men, or we're off at heads.
Davo and Steve Parrish went to the same school.
Mixed in
this.
I think it would be fair to say we mixed in the same circles and are now both remembering events, parties, girls, cars.
A lot of cars
that we remember very well. It's been wonderful reconnecting with Steve. He's going to be here. Guests for the event, Rog, we're putting together with our great mates at EA Sports, including an abundance of great footballing minds. Far too optimal for us. Everton manager Roberto Martinez, World Cup champions Ali Krieger, Becky Sauerbrunn, and hey-o, Heather O'Reilly.
I could not be more excited if Haim were coming.
They're going to be interviewed by television's Katie Nolan. Rog, Barry Hearn is coming, Rebecca Lowe, Ray Hudson, Kyle Martino, and his fairly impressive hair, Steve Parrish, we just said, the owner of Crystal Palace. He just taped, by the way, Steve Parrish.
What?
If you don't know a lot about him, that podcast special you did with him, Rog, fascinating. It's just gone
up. Thank you, mate.
Christian Seifert is coming. Rog, tell us about Christian Seifert.
He is the Adam Silver of the Bundesliga, the commissioner of the Bundesliga, coming over to talk about how the Bundesliga will catch up with the English Premier League globally. Fascinating topic.
Wir werden sehen. Richard Scudamore, the Don of the Premier League, and Don Garber, the Don of an MLS,
no,
Rog.
But Richard Scudamore really is the Don of the Premier League. He's not
Don
just
Garber
a Don.
Is a Don.
He's a
Although
Don.
He is the Don the of Don. An MLS, as well as leaders from individual teams like Man City, Liverpool, Roma, and Seattle Sounders, Orlando City FC, Southampton, and Bournemouth. There will be beer. There will be pie.
That's the only reason I'm coming.
There will be singing and dancing, great live shows both Friday night and Saturday night. Tickets to BlazerCon November 13th and 14th in Brooklyn are available on our website, meninblazers.com.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
I just saw the bar area, the mock-ups for the bar area.
Okay.
The tent, the beer tent.
Yeah.
And it gave me the tingling, David.
We have paid particular attention to the bar area.
Worked very hard
Almost
on that.
Almost disproportionate numbers of hours devoted to that.
We're sold out of the VGFOP tickets.
What?
So get a ticket
yeah.
while they are available. The countdown has begun. I just finished with GFOP Ian Hutchinson working on the BlazerCon Blazer patch.
Oh, there's a new BlazerCon Blazer patch,
It's got
Rog.
Its own Blazer patch.
Yeah, I heard some rumours.
And that made me feel, David, it's real. It's happening. Once you've got a Blazer patch in your hand, it's very real.
Yeah.
It's happening. And we hope you can join us.
Yeah, we weren't in Brazil until we got a Blazer patch for it, Rog. Okay, we have a packed show today. We're going to break down each clap, hug, and kiss.
I've never met Ray Hudson.
Really?
Ray Hudson, I was chatting to him last night on the telephone. I have a list of people I've never met.
We've spoken to him so much on the phone and on the radio.
He is in my top three people who I adore that I've never met.
Interesting. Who are the other two?
Mark Stein.
We've never met, and we've spoken to him, been on his radio show.
I feeling
show.
He may be coming to BlazerCon.
Oh, okay.
And also Dana Plato.
That one probably won't happen at this point. Okay, we've got a packed show. We're going to break down each clap, hug and kiss from Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool debut at Spurs. Oh, I forgot they're playing Spurs. We relive a United-Everton affair so lopsided that even Wayne Rooney scored, plus a Raheem Sterling hat-trick, pornographic passing from Arsenal. Roger. And prayers for poor Brad Guzan. To the football, Rog, crack open a Guinness.
Not just a Guinness, mate.
Oh, it's the Nitro IPA.
Yeah, you like this, don't you?
I love the Nitro. It's infused, Rog, with nitrogen for a smooth, balanced finish. You know, it's made from not one hop, not two, not three, not four. Five hops, Rog, go into this.
That is a lot of hopping, David.
That's, no, not hopping. Hops, Rog. The stuff they make beer out of.
The thing that's funny about this drink is that it is a IPA, but it's distinctively a Guinness one. It's got like creamy head still.
Yeah, it tastes so good. Anyway, cheers, Rog. Oh,
to Ross Barkley getting a bit more calibration before the next weekend.
Exactly. He's got to turn those free kicks into Willian's.
Bit of a crap weekend, let's be honest. There was not
Everton
too much
lost,
to
Chelsea
discuss
won.
In
of
this
course
podcast.
You think it's a crap weekend.
Felt like the Premier League writers just kind of
phoned it in.
Really fancy working this
they
weekend.
They pulled out a script from 2014, 2015,
sent it in again.
Rog.
Big teams win, little teams lose.
Boring.
Not much to see here. I prefer the old new Premier League stuff where anyone can win on any given Sunday.
And Chelsea are always crap.
Yeah, that's the part I really love.
You love that bit.
Let's dive on in.
We are now 9/38 of the way through the Premier League season. That does not reduce. And in an attempt to boost ratings, the writers, the one thing they did do this weekend, Rog, they gave us a new Premier League character.
Scrappy Doo.
We love it. Jurgen Klopp. Rog, and he took his men down to Spurs, a Premier League cocktail that was three parts narrative, part actual football, a series of quality Simon Mignolet saves kept Real Salt Lake's Harry Kane and co. at bay while an injury-riddled Liverpool side rarely threatened. Spurs extend their unbeaten run to 8 league games. That's amazing. But all the talk post-game was about Jurgen Klopp.
Well, all the talk pre-game was about
Jurgen Klopp.
Too. I mean, the
Jurgen Klopp.
Era has begun.
Yes, it has.
And when I woke up...
Too many Jurgens.
On Saturday, mate, you can never have too many Jurgens.
Yeah, well, you can.
I couldn't have woken up any more excited, David, to watch this game. Jurgen Klopp, he's a man who's just so emotional.
Yeah.
He's so cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
He's so exaggerated in his mannerisms.
Yeah.
He conjures the kind of emotions I normally only get when a man is wearing a mascot suit. He's like the Philly fanatic if the Philly fanatic suddenly became a great leader of men. Do you love him?
Well, I don't really know what I feel about Jurgen Klopp because I feel like I've been hit over the head with Jurgen Klopp by the media. And I find the fawning over Jurgen Klopp right now sort of ridiculous. Everything he says in front of the press is greeted with laughs. Every appearance is oh, man of the people.
Is it, or is it dry humping?
Yeah, it might be closer to dry humping. But it's sort of amazing, and you feel like it's going to turn inevitably at some point. And I just want to, like, fast forward the tapes and see where we actually are in a few months' time.
Oh, and one of the glut of English news stories I loved ahead of the game was about his German Bundesliga nickname. Your pronunciations are a little bit better. More, by better, I mean sinister than mine.
Yeah. Yes, more authentically German is what you're trying to say. Der Menschenfänger, Rog.
Yeah, which...
the man catcher.
I know everyone knows what that means at home. You're saying to yourself, oh, yes, the man catcher.
Yeah.
That medieval weapon for subduing human beings.
Well, it's really the people catcher, I suppose.
He's
equal opportunity.
It's a spear like a weapon. It's a pole with two pincers lodged on the end that penetrates whatever...
Yeah.
The thrower was trying to hit. The tips are often, as you know, spring-loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Which allows the weapon to wrap around its intended target. It's mostly used, as you do, to pull people off their horses and then drag them to the ground.
German technology, always efficient, Rog.
Apparently, a tribute, the Menschenfinger, to his infinite levels of charisma.
Yeah.
But I have to say, file that nickname under words that seem more sinister to the Jewish ear than to other people's.
I don't know. I think Menschenfänging, Rog, is pretty sinister to everybody. I don't want to be Menschenfänged.
You don't?
No, not at all. Who does? Who would want that?
Probably Johnny Knoxville.
He want to be Menschenfänged.
I think to get back on television, I'm sure he'd love to be Menschenfänged.
Damn it.
Menschenfäng me in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn
the camera on first.
By the time he trotted out the tunnel at Tottenham. My excitement levels, they were expecting miracle. That's what they were at, David. At Moorman 71. Who had a better entrance, Jesus into Jerusalem or Klopp into White Hart Lane? # was he floating?
But we spoke a little bit about this game yesterday during the TV show pre-production, Rog. And I felt like you were a bit more impressed with Jurgen Klopp's new Liverpool than I was.
Well, I was,
David. I was a little disappointed.
I was because, I mean, all right, the Ark of the Covenant was not unveiled.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Lepers were not healed.
Not that I saw.
I think I might have seen some stigmata.
And Stigmati.
I can tell you, my menorah stayed lit for 8 crazy nights.
It did.
Thanks to Jurgen. He took that oil that was only there for 24 hours.
Yeah.
But I've rewound the footage several times.
Jurgen's and menorahs.
I swear there was a halo over his head as he walked to the bench the first time.
Yeah. His amazing teeth. They are amazing.
I think that's Brendan's legacy.
No. Brendan got his teeth done. He just has full-on amazing teeth.
Oh, he's got amazing... I mean... Of course, he looks different. At Dortmund, he looked like the most likely manager in the world to have directed porno movies in his past. Now he just looks like a holy man. He's taken over Tim Tebow as the one true football Jesus, David. Mm-hmm. I've got no doubt. The reception he received from the travelling Liverpool fans. Have you ever seen anything like it?
No, we believe. The same people holding up the banner, of course, who believed in Brendan.
The Jurgen flag. Too many Jurgens. And the most complex flag of all that the Liverpool creative fans came up with.
Liverpool Uber Alles.
Written on the yellow, red and black of the Bundesflagger.
Yeah.
Liverpool Uber Alles.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to say, we've got a young audience to this podcast. They may not know this, but 70 years ago, the Battle of Britain raged. London was blitzed. Liverpool's docks were battered for 8 months from August 1940 onwards. I mean, the whole dock area, local businesses, thousands of homes were destroyed. The Germans had an attempt to firebomb the city centre, which failed, thank God. 3,800 people were killed in the area. I grew up in a Liverpool where there were still buildings left in ruins in the centre of the city from the bombing. I went out for dinner on Saturday night with a German friend of mine, and all he could talk about was the shock he felt as a German, watching the travelling Liverpool fans lift up the German flag with Liverpool Uber Alles on it. On the way down to London.
Yeah, well, we should say Deutschland über alles was the slogan of the Third Reich and of their fascist philosophy. It's not just the fact that they are supporting a German or even holding up the German flag. It is that writing on it is
I think it's all remarkable.
Amazing.
All I'd say is football is the ultimate healer. It is the ultimate healer, is what I will say. But it wasn't all sun and lightness for Liverpool. The curse of the Brodge in full effect. Mm-hmm. In the run-up to the game, Joe Gomez, Danny Ings, both ruled out long-term with ACLs on the same day. Klopp loves pace. He lost two of his fastest guys within 24 hours. And he lacked the injured Benteke. Mm-hmm. Sturridge dropped out with a knee injury. Hendo out long-term. Firmino. I guess the big question for me was, what of the Dortmund kind of model, the full-throttle football, would we see, could we see, when he'd only just taken over the team ahead of the game?
Well, it's going to take a time. It's going to be a work in progress, and he's probably not going to be able to do it with exactly the same personnel.
Well, he only had 2 days of training to try and impart his ideas. The three big changes before kickoff were Origi in as a starter, which I guess was a forced hand with all of the injuries.
Yeah.
The Dortmund formation, the 4-3-2-1 with Emre Can shoved into his true role of midfield.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was Klopp or not, but Adam Lallana unveiled a tasty pair of lamb chops for this game.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Ahead of the game,
a bit more facial hair across the team, we should say.
Ahead of the game, Klopp said he wanted, quote, more braveness, more fun in the players' eyes. He wanted
braveness.
The players to play like our best dream, which I love. He wants them to play like they think they're out at a party with Dana Plato and Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
Just take the pressure off, lads. So we belted ourselves in, Dave. What do we see without Brendan Rodgers? It was funny watching Liverpool play without Brendan Rodgers. I realise I'm so accustomed to watching Liverpool with a perpetual fear that Liverpool were going to score, and we cut the camera to that. Brendan Rodgers, I did it!
The short arm.
Salute,
I did that.
I witnessed it. Watching Liverpool play without fear of watching, I did that, Brendan Rodgers on the sideline. It was a very different experience, a very different emotional connectivity.
Do you think Brod watched this game?
I think he probably dressed up as an old milkmaid and secreted himself into the stadium at Tottenham, and watched.
And constantly shaked his head.
Just tried to ferment revolution amongst the fans.
Yeah.
Throw a few banana skins in the way of the beloved Jurgen. But it didn't work, Dave, because Liverpool, out the gate, so strong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just charged at their opponents with a manic determination.
They did. Divock Origi, Rog. I tell you, he's not had a Premier League goal ever. But he did hit the bar in this game.
That's the Klopp effect.
I tell you, that's the best thing he's ever done in the Premier League.
Headed against the bar, a furious scramble ensued. And you say about Spurs, they were also playing, number one. Not a lot of talk about them in the run-up to the game, despite their 7-game unbeaten record. Nervy at the start, without the protective cloak of Eric Dier, who was suspended. It was hard to tell what kept Spurs struggling. Was it just that the Liverpool players were just trying bloody hard to impress a new manager, Emre Can in particular, who charged around like a man determined to grab a fresh start? But around the 30-minute mark, Dave, you started to think Liverpool might have punched themselves out.
Tottenham facing some of their own absences, Rog. Eric Dier, a mark of the new aggressiveness that Tottenham are playing with, that he's suspended for this game. He's had something like 5 yellow cards in 8 games, Rog. And definitely sort of trying out a new midfield there in combination. But after a while, Tottenham got on the ball, Rog, and they got into Liverpool. And Liverpool was struggling to possess the ball. And you sort of felt, I was watching Jurgen on the sideline thinking, oh my God, I've come all the way to England for this crap. Like, what on earth have I done? Literally, it's like watching a second division German side try and get the ball out of defence.
Yeah, and Spurs started to assert themselves, creating chances for Harry Kane to miss. You can, when he runs in on goal, Dave, you can always hear his little voice saying to him through your television screen, I'm not going to do this. I can't do this no more. His confidence is set at Brad Guzan levels now. And when they cut to the Spurs fans after he thrashes the ball, inevitably straight at the goalkeeper's midriff, you know, they used to chant Prince Harry last season. I bet most of them would prefer the real Prince Harry started for them now. Harry Windsor, Prince William's half-brother, rather than Harry Kane. Second half, deadening affair. Coutinho and Eriksen, normally so creative, both blunt. Liverpool fell apart completely in the final third. Origi toiled with little effect. Spurs conspired to break on the counter, but Kane and Lamela's wobbly confidence made sure it came to little. At Wally Waldrep tweeted, Klopp is like a kid who opened his gifts on Christmas, only to find out he doesn't have any batteries to power them. My favourite moment of that second half was when Joe Allen came on. Oh, he's got the hair of an art teacher.
He does not look like a footballer, Rog. There's no doubt. No wonder Brendan Rodgers forgot about him.
At our slad tweeted, Joe Allen is slowly turning into Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
Hashtag danger zone. He must be the most tweedy looking footballer in the Premier League. Klopp unveiled in that second half all of his managerial strategies. Hugged Lallana as he took him off, like the owner of a mistreated kennel puppy, just wanting to give love, rebuild trust. He kissed Ibe before sending him on as a substitute.
Yeah, and then he slapped him, Rog.
At full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to keep your kids on your toes.
It.
Don't know whether daddy's going to give you love or daddy's going to give you a slap. Bad parenting, Jurgen. And then there's a lot of clapping, occasionally with accompanying chicken head movements.
Yeah.
Question, was this 0-0 tie much of a result? You told me you thought that if Brendan Rodgers was a manager...
He would have been fired after this game. But you're right, he's been there 2 days. What is he going to really go and be able to do? But there's a long way to go with this team. And I think there are a lot of Liverpool fans who believe, oh, ultimately Brendan lost the dressing room. He couldn't inspire these players. There's only so much you can get out of your football team from inspiration, Rog. It's ultimately got to be quality and confidence in the actual players themselves.
You know, I loved.
And he's got to get lucky with injuries, let's face it.
I loved watching him walk around at the final whistle, talking to Sacco and Lucas immediately in the aftermath on the field, watching them listen with intent to his adjustments, his little tweaks in their ear. These changes are coming, and he's got time now to work his ways for real on the training ground. The big stat that's been much talked about, Liverpool ran 116 kilometres. They're the first team to run further than Spurs, who are a hard-charging team. They ran 114.8 in a Premier League this season. That's one thing you would not have seen under Brendan. It was massive that Liverpool didn't lose this game. That was really their result. The further wasn't snuffed out immediately by cold, harsh Premier League reality, with Benteke, Hendo, Firmino still to come back, Sturridge still to come back and then get injured again. I've got to say, fourth place is definitely, definitely a live option. I mean, Everton have been much buzzed about this season. They're on the same points right now with Liverpool, who have been seen and perceived as a team in crisis. His next games, Southampton home, Chelsea away, Crystal Palace home, and then Manchester City. I think we'll see the true change, really, in a crucible of Premier League activity there, Dave.
Yeah, going to be very, very tough games. And Spurs, Rog, 8 games unbeaten. I must say, I know we've still been watching That So Spursy, but it's a slightly different kind of Spurs this season. I do see more aggression. I do see more bite. I do see more physicality. And I like that.
It's a huge amount for Spurs fans to feel incredibly optimistic about this season.
Very,
a lot
very
of questions about Jurgen Klopp freely admitting he's had a hair transplant, David.
Yeah.
At Contrario Mar said, is it bull denial if you freely acknowledge your prior baldness? Oh, what a question. What?
Yeah, it is. I said, the act of getting a hair transplant is bald denying, Rog.
There's
no doubt about it.
Even if you admit,
even if you admit that I dye my hair, it is still grey denying.
Oh, that's so interesting. I mean, that question makes my head ache, like when I used to try and consider the notion of space going on forever when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Not sure what my position is on that. I'm going to have to review it through the season.
Sorry to bring this up. Everton 0, Manchester United 3.
A false result.
Really?
No, I'm just saying. That's what you say when you lose, isn't it?
Okay. Louis van Gaal's apparently army rebounds from their pre-international break, drubbing at Arsenal and comfortably dispatch a listless Everton. Goals from Morgan Schneiderlin, assisted by Chris Smalling, Ander Herrera and, Wayne Rooney, Rog.
Yeah.
In short, United stay third, just
old
2 points behind league leaders Manchester City.
Mm. Let's talk about nice things.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Howard Kendall tribute.
Yeah, that was nice before the game.
Can I take a second to talk about Howard Kendall?
Go ahead, Howard Kendall. He was the Everton manager in your youth, Rog.
Oh, club legend. First as a player, he won the title with Everton 1969-70. Part of the Holy Trinity with Alan Ball and Colin Harvey. Then in the mid-80s, he led the team, Everton Football Club, as manager to 2 league titles, an FA Cup triumph and a European Cup Winners' Cup win. It's kind of a tournament that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, very good.
Very meaningful.
Basically the Europa League.
And then English clubs were banned from Europe after Heysel, at a time when Everton were poised to become one of the best clubs in the world. I'm kind of saying this because a lot of American fans can't even conceive of a time when Everton Football Club
won
things.
Titles.
Under this man, they won time and time again. And I'll say Howard Kendall's memory will forever be intertwined with some of the most glorious, even happy, Dave, I'll say happy moments of my life.
What?
Of my youth.
Okay.
And of my lifetime as a football
fan. Higher than
C+. Yeah, it's before I knew you, Dave. I was happy. I was happy.
Oh, what a horrible thing to say.
He said, not because it's not all about you, mate.
Okay.
He was a true Everton fan. He was always around the club. He lived in the area that I grew up in. I always saw him. And he came from an older era of football where the players, the managers were more accessible, truly part of the community. And I'll miss him terribly.
Oh, Rog.
Wonderful,
so nice.
Wonderful man. That's all we'll talk about this game.
Yeah, that's it. Because it wasn't that pretty for Everton, Rog. They made Smalling and Jones look like a world-class centre-back partnership and had some defensive lapses of their own. I know we are pro-American goalkeeper, Rog, and we're very pro Tim Howard, but this was...
We're getting more and more pro Nick Romando.
This is a slightly shaky performance from Tim Howard. Manchester United, we still know nothing about them, really. And yet, they are finding ways this season to score quite a lot of goals.
Well, Van Gaal unfortunately tweaked his lineup ahead of this game, snuffing out both weaknesses I hoped Everton would prey on.
Yeah.
Schneiderlin replaced Carrick in midfield, which gave United enough energy behind Herrera to completely overrun Everton. And at centre-back, Daley Blind gone. Phil Jones, Smalling reunited in the heart of the defence. And it felt so terrible. It felt so terrible for poor Romelu. It was, he bullied Liverpool last time out. I have to say, I thought Smalling and Jones were fantastic together and really parried him and repelled him to a large part. And this was one of the most frustrating kinds of losses as a fan. I can take games where Everton battle and are overturned and lose. But 90 minutes like this, where the team from the outset are flatter than Kyle Martino's new quiff. These are the kind of losses, Davo, which even repeat listens to Tracy Chapman's debut album just cannot heal.
Well, number one, I'm pro Kyle Martino's new haircut, Rog. I'm buying that. I like it. Number two, this for me is sort of... Everton used to be a very, for me, under Moyes, a very consistently better than mid-table, less than... top six team. They were sort of like consistent.
You might as well just pat me on the head while you talk about this. Go on.
Right now, Everton, and it has been progress, this team, there is a bigger variance between their great performances and their lower performance. There's a lot more inconsistency. And they have players. I'm not sure that there's a player with a wider variation between when he's on and when he's off than Romelu Lukaku. He's like, it's a very, very different Romelu that you see.
I can think of loads of players.
Who?
Ross Barkley.
Oh, sorry, other Everton players.
I can think of Ross Barkley. I mean, a gentleman who, in this game, just his wires didn't seem properly connected.
Yeah.
One poor decision after another. And the thing about this game, which was frustrating, United didn't impress with their invention, but they didn't have to. Three massive Everton mistakes, three Manchester United goals. First from a set piece, Everton's Achilles heel this season. United hadn't scored at Goodison in four seasons. They only had to wait a couple of minutes for a second goal. What a ball from Rojo early. Herrera splitting the defenders. He's now scored eight goals under Herrera from 10 shots on target.
Wow, efficient.
What a clinical, efficient bloke. And Everton just toiled. They seemed to play as if they thought there were goals on the side of the field. And with rumours swirling of an American takeover before the game, you could say their style of play already made them seem like a Sporting Kansas City minor league team. Ross Barkley, great tweet from AU Chief. He said, Schweinsteiger versus Barkley is the ultimate father and son matchup. The son always ends up on the ground a lot. Everton had a brief flutter. They brought on Kone, went direct with two strikers. But David De Gea, David.
Yeah, he had a good game.
God.
Think of where he was a few weeks ago and where he is now. Two fantastic saves.
It could have been. Everton didn't deserve this, but it could very easily have been 2-2. But then Wayne Rooney wrapped up the game with his second league goal of the season, sitting Tim Howard down with ease.
Terrible giveaway from Jagielka.
It's like a nostalgia trip watching Wayne Rooney score.
Yeah,
it's like seeing Bob Dylan in that IBM
that
commercial.
That was an old-time Wayne Rooney finish.
God, what's he doing in this? And the game just became a dead rubber. Anthony Martial just slayed Seamus Coleman for pace with ease. Speed, eviscerating speed. Really a sign of United's dominance. I mean, the game was best summed up by at Dylan Steiger, who said, today's game was like watching your ex-uncle beat up your dad at your granddad's funeral. Don't know what this means, but it sounds very Jerry Springer. And I like it. This Sporting Kansas City takeover of Everton, which is not happening.
Potential.
Everyone I've spoken to swears it's not happening. I say we're a tough team to buy, Everton, because our stadium needs so much work. Because we're in the north of England, we're kind of hemmed in by the two big Manchester clubs who own the kind of economic market. To buy the team means to sink in another 300 million plus into a stadium makeover. But I've got to say, just the notion of making Everton America's team for real, it makes so much sense. The club has such a rich tradition of US talent, going back to Landon, Tim, Joe Max Moore, who the Everton fans used to call Joe Max Less, one of my favourite nicknames in team football. And the fact that the Liverpool area, born of the docks which traded with the United States, has always made the city believe it's America's 51st state. Oh, one day, Dave, I wish that was true.
Well, we will see, Rod. We will see.
Trying to get Carmelo Anthony to buy the team.
Yeah, we'll see. Watford 0, Arsenal 3. After a somewhat stale first 62 minutes, Arsene Wenger's team imposed their will on the Hornets. A clinic in deft passing saw Alexis Sanchez, Olivier Giroud and Aaron Ramsey fill out one of the most well-groomed score sheets of this young Premier League season. Impressive past the first 62 minutes, Rog.
I'd say the first glimpse of the Wenger coat. Oh, emotional on the
ushering
sideline.
In fall.
Yeah, it's fall for real now. Watford, disciplined, organised, physically robust when needed. Mm-hmm. But the result never felt in doubt. That's the best thing I can say about this Arsenal team.
Yeah.
You never doubted they were going to win this game. Mm-hmm. They just seem to have so many goals in them right now, David. The first goal, the kind of goal that the Arsenal of last season would have been on the end of. Watford attacked. They believed they had a penalty. But what happened?
Oh, no, they go right up the other end. Arsenal, fantastic passing sequence.
Cazorla directing traffic.
It was amazing stuff. Ends up Ozil involved too. Rog Sanchez starts the whole play off and ends up picking up the scraps.
Emphatically, yeah. Rumours of his demise greatly exaggerated. 6 goals in his last 3 games. And on that second goal, Davo, that Ozil ball is pornographic.
It's a ball you never see. Well, you just never see it, Rog.
Most Premier League players, when they're right in that corner, probably about 10 yards from goal on the goal line, they do. And
they smash it in, Rog. They fizz it in.
Yeah, I hate what the commentator phrase more than any other. They say, he fizzed the ball into the mixer. He fizzed it.
It's impossible to connect with any forethought, Rog. It can only just accidentally hit you and go in.
Ozil pulled it back at an almost double-jointed angle, finding Giroud to finish. Mm-hmm. 6 chances created on the day by Mesut, 2 assists. And whatever you think about Theo Walcott and his consistency as a striker, it's his speed alongside a reinvigorated Alexis, which is stretching defences and just creating a magic zone for Mesut Ozil to weave his visionary wonder within, David.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch. As was Ramsey, wrapping up the points and then stuffing the ball up that Arsenal jersey.
I know, that's difficult to do.
It's almost impossible. I've tried it, actually.
Yeah, you have.
With an Arsenal jersey at home, you need to have just muscles. He's a Welsh Houdini to jam a ball up an Arsenal jersey, which is made of recycled foreskin, I think. Well, it doesn't say so on the label. It's amazing. And then he made the statement everyone in football knows to be a truth. If you touch Olivier Giroud, you will get pregnant. I thought it was beautiful. Pity Watford. The opening 45, impressive. But they remain constipated in front of goal at home. 4 games, 2 goals, and a run now of 360 goalless minutes.
I don't know that we'll leave this in the pod, Rog, but I would be very concerned about anybody who had a foreskin that tight.
Don't know. Don't need anything. Let's talk about it on our other
podcast.
Yeah. Know your Christian neighbour. Arsenal put a lot more goals past better teams, starting no doubt against Everton next week.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the face.
Yeah.
Not in the face.
Chelsea 2, Aston Villa 0. What? Chelsea won a game, proving they can beat a team not coached by Arsene Wenger. A Diego Costa tap-in and an Alan Hutton own goal leave Jose Mourinho's side in 12th place. Despite the result, much of the focus is on Jose Mourinho dropping last year's PFA Player of the Year, Eden Hazard, from the first 11.
Oh, he doesn't look so good at the moment, Jose, does he?
Well, I think he's made the right decision to drop Eden Hazard.
Well, let's chat. I mean, the pre-match interview, I loved it. Mourinho was asked by the journalist, tell us about your changes.
Yeah.
And then with a smile, like a watery winter sun, he just smiled and he said,
I can't. How could he possibly talk about his changes? That would be idiotic.
Matic.
For anybody to even ask that question.
Hazard and Cahill sent to the naughty step.
Yeah.
Falcao not even on the bench.
Yeah.
Zouma and Baba chucked into the team.
Yeah.
What has happened to Hazard, Dave? It was only 12 weeks ago. Jose was blowing the as good as Messi and Ronaldo trumpet.
Yeah. Well, he's not. And never has been, in truth, as good as them. But he's a fantastic player, and it's pretty puzzling to see what's going on with him this year. We've noticed it before. He has spells during games, spells during seasons, when he just disappears a little bit. And he's been disappearing. Jose bringing back an old trope, which is that Hazard does not play as defensively. He does not cover as well as Willian and Pedro and Ramirez, who was fantastic in this game. And that's very, very true. He doesn't.
We need our midfielders to be just worried in the central of the pitch, not worrying about compensation on the left or the right, i.e. Eden Hazard has morphed into Juan Mata. Dave, when I interviewed Mourinho ahead of the season, one of the things that was most interesting to me was he talked about the key to his success being that he treats even his biggest players as he does his fringe ones.
Yeah.
As he said, not just the Mickey Mouse players.
Yeah.
Had to listen to that 12 times to understand what he was saying. Few managers would alienate their key playmaker at a time of crisis. But right now, Mourinho, mission one for him in this nightmare start is to reinforce a sense of impregnability for Chelsea. Defensive solidity is the prime objective, and you're either with the programme or you're out the team.
Yeah.
This is modern football. The headlines in the papers in England today. Chelsea's Belgian winger Eden Hazard has been linked with a move to Real Madrid, and he could be in trouble with Blues boss Jose Mourinho after appearing to like a post on Instagram suggesting he could move to the club. Modern football.
That's what it's come to. Rod, other headlines. Pedro struggling with the Premier League. When Pedro just mentioned, you know, the English Premier League, it's quite physical, and the headlines just blow everything out of proportion. Look, Jose Mourinho got a win, and that's what he needed to go and do. It was a win against Villa, who haven't put up a lot of resistance so far in this Premier League. It was an okay performance, better defensively than it was offensively. This doesn't solve all of Chelsea's problems, but Chelsea were not quite as bad as I think everybody were fearing. You know what? They're a very good mid-table football team right now, and it's sort of where they're going to be for a while until a player or a few players step up. The most likely players to step up and change their season seem to be Willian, Rog, and Ramirez, who played fantastically in
this game. They needed a moment of sublime creativity to open the scoring.
Yeah.
That came from Brad Guzan.
Yeah.
The ultimate creator. Yeah. What an assist. I believe Jurgen Klinsmann would have watched that game and just been like, what creativity? With a pretty awful clearance, he set up Willian for a run in on goal. I've said this.
Well, Julian Lescott didn't control that ball very well either.
It was a mighty, mighty task for an English defender to be able to do anything like that. True.
Sorry, well put. I changed my previous comment.
I've said this now, I think, 3 weeks on the run.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for Brad Guzan. A wonderful bloke who's waited patiently for his chance to start for both club and nation, but has quickly become a goalkeeper who seems to be playing in a puddle of his own confidence. A second goal soon followed, equally bad for the Bulls, David.
Yeah.
Diego Costa ricocheting it in off Alan Hutton.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper
intentionally.
Error. Goalkeeper error and an own goal. A win is a win. Chelsea win. Something that is about as common as a blood moon. The Chelsea fans ended the game shouting, "We are staying up, we are staying up," deliriously. Tim Sherwood said Chelsea were fluky. He also said, and I think this is classic Tim Sherwood, who is on the hot seat and may not be a manager for much longer. I think of Rudyard Kipling's line, this is me talking, "If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you." He told the press, "Yeah, the last few weeks have been boring. I've been bored watching Aston Villa."
Oh,
that's great. That really, so boring.
Yeah.
Being relegated.
Not very clever.
But before the game, Mourinho talked about how he was fighting to stay in control of the Chelsea dressing room.
Uh-huh.
The London Standard revealed one senior player at the club has a derogatory one-word nickname for Mourinho. What word could that be, David?
I think it was Moo.
It is.
I don't know what it was. There was very little hard reporting or fact-checking going on in that story.
I keep trying to think about it, because Pol Pot is two words.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what a crappy win can do for your confidence against hapless Aston Villa. Because afterwards he told the press, "We can win all four trophies. It's possible, even if it's also possible, to lose all four."
He enjoys mathematics.
I think he also enjoys sounding like Jaden Smith, who just recently today in an interview with GQ said, "When I do interviews, I love it. People think you're crazy, and it's an honour to people to think I'm crazy." This is Jaden Smith, not Jose Mourinho. "Because," says Jaden Smith, "they thought Galileo was crazy too. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'm as revolutionary as Galileo, but I don't think I'm not as revolutionary as Galileo."
This is just a genius interview. We've got to get him on Men in Blazers. We've got to get him on Men in Blazers.
Love it. We'll do it.
That's amazing. I do think Diego Costa looked in much better shape, Rog.
But he also looked not in much better shape, says Jaden Smith. Jaden, if you're listening, get down to the panic room. I've got so many questions about life I need to ask you.
Absolutely. Manchester City 5, Rog. Bournemouth 1, a Raheem Sterling hat-trick and a Wilfred Bony brace. Leader David Silva and Sergio Aguero led City to a routine win over Bournemouth. City have scored 11 goals in their last two games. They sit, could have scored way more
as
well.
Tim Sherwood would say it's boring.
Yeah, they sit at top of the table, 2 points ahead of Arsenal and their crosstown rivals United.
Could two Premier League teams be more different, David?
No.
They're like the Dave and Roger Premier League team, City and Bournemouth. It's like a false equivalency almost watching them. This was Penthouse and the Pavement, upstairs versus downstairs at Downton Abbey. I mean, no David Silva, no Sergio Aguero, no Vincent Kompany. But no problem, because this was the day Raheem Sterling became a man. The big bottom small was unstoppable.
He was unstoppable. Roger, I've always thought about Raheem Sterling. You know, there's a lot written, a lot said Raheem Sterling in the offseason. Can't finish. That he's really not that talented. He's not that great. I've always felt that Raheem Sterling is a remarkably talented footballer. And I think he underachieves partly because of his focus, because of his mentality. This was a really significant thing for Raheem Sterling in a Man City uniform to have this kind of a game. Yeah, the goals weren't all incredible. But when you actually slow down the tape and you watch them again, they're all better goals than they originally seemed.
Which are the best kind of goals, says Jaden Smith. But then again, they're not.
Not comparing myself to Raheem Sterling.
The hard thing.
I'm just saying.
I'm like him, but then again, I'm not.
Yeah.
The problem was he scored them on Bournemouth. And their defence reminded me of when I play my kids on FIFA 16. Mm-hmm. And I defend just by pressing X on the controller to slide tackle in there crudely. And just more my players end up on their bottom.
Yeah.
The second strike was exquisite. The third, which was started by Jesus Navas with his signature move, purposely missing in front of a gaping open goal.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, I say everyone, not to knock Jesus Navas.
Yeah.
Everyone is bad at something they do a lot. I am.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of ramen.
Yeah.
And I'm humiliatingly poor with chopsticks.
Really?
Yeah, terrible.
But I didn't know that. The amount of sushi we've eaten together. Have you always eaten a fork?
Well, sushi's fine. Sushi's fine. You can kind of get away with
sushi.
That's
how you handle your chopsticks?
No.
Okay.
I'm too old now to ask anyone for help with my chopsticks, someone to really teach me.
Uh-huh.
And with ramen, it's really where you come undone.
Yeah,
I need a sensei. Come and train me. But Jesus Navas plays a lot of football, like I eat ramen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just crap, I think, at a few details, like crossing and shooting. But no matter, because Raheem stepped in, picked up the mess. You love the way he dropped his shoulder.
Oh, that little shoulder drop. Faked the defender out of his boots. Rog dropped the shoulder. He jinked and joinked, Rog. And his first step, Rog.
Two goals also for Wilfred Bony. Massive for his confidence. After he'd spent the week saying this year after I moved to City, been the darkest of my career. Talking about darkness, up the cherries. When I met Eddie Howe over the summer, he said we will be on the end of a couple of shellackings.
Yeah, earlier
in
one
the
of
season.
Them.
He said there'd be five goals shellackings, he predicted. But he wouldn't have expected to be without seven starters due to injury.
Yeah, it's
going to be
bad.
Fascinating to see what resources Bournemouth can throw at the transfer window. Their chairman, Jeff Mostyn, is coming to BlazerCon, so we'll be able to ask him, Davo.
Yeah.
But with Tottenham, Southampton looming in the league, Liverpool charging up for the League Cup, they've got to find a way to grab some points at this stage, any which way. Up the cherries.
Yeah, Eden Hazard might be for sale, Rog. Crystal Palace, 1, West Ham, 3. I enjoyed this game. The Irons surge into the top four after beating 10-man Palace at Selhurst Park. With the score tied at 1, Dwight Gayle received his second yellow card of the game. What was he thinking right before the break? After failing to find a way through, Manuel Lanzini finally put the Hammers up 2-1 in the 88th minute. Courtesy of a fantastic head back from Andy Carroll. 6 minutes later, a tidy Dimitri Payet dink.
Oh,
tidy. It was lovely. Over Wayne Hennessy, secured the point.
Performance anxiety yet again for Crystal Palace at home. Their fans are boisterous and all loving, but their counter-attacking football actually prospers better on the road.
Yeah.
But the fans at home want them to attack, attack, attack.
Yeah.
And here, Dwight Gayle watching it, Davo, it was like he was channeling Diego Costa light. He argued with every one of his opponents, got in the ref's face, drew a penalty, and then two deserved yellow cards before exiting on the stroke of half-time. Credit Slaven Bilic. It was his two substitutes who combined for the very late breakthrough against 10 men. The man bun of Andy Carroll knocked the ball back for Lanzini to finish smartly. As a great West Ham fan, Irving Welsh would say, goal of a shagger. Watching Andy Carroll hump the prune Lanzini, it was like watching a walrus cow mate. Wouldn't be surprised if Andy Carroll is now out for 8 months, Dave, after exerting all that energy spreading his seed.
Yeah, when fit, we've said this before about Andy Carroll, it's a very good plan B in the Premier League to have a guy you can bring on as a sub and you can just becomes a good target, you can aim the ball him at the back post. Great, great nod down.
Payet. Fantastic purchase.
That was beautiful.
Fifth goal of the season.
Yeah.
But more than that, he's created more chances than anyone else in the league. 39. An eye-popping statistic.
Yeah.
Four away wins for West Ham. 10 goals scored.
Yeah.
One conceded. What a time to support the Hammers in decades. America's falling in love with football.
Yeah.
Falling in love with the Hammers. We had a very giddy Seth Meyers on the show last night, right, David?
Yeah, he called that the transfer, Rog, of the off-season, without a doubt, off the window.
We told him West Ham only need 23 more points to stave off relegation for another season.
They're going to be better than that.
Well, we're talking about our guest, David.
Yeah.
Who's coming on the show next week?
Molly Ringwald.
Couldn't be more nervous.
I know, you are quite nervous.
I watched 16 Candles to prepare over the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, with modern eyes, it's a bit alarming, the storylines about how the main kind of women are treated.
As with almost every movie made in the 1980s, Rod.
Secondly, the camera. Forgot how little it moves in every scene.
Oh, I like that.
But I was also overwhelmed with a
Have you watched the Men in Blazers show, Rod?
John Hughes directs that too. Oh, yeah. I wish he did. Late, great genius.
Yeah.
But I was like overwhelmed watching it. That when I first watched that, as I did so many times with Pretty in Pink in the 1980s,
yeah,
I mean, it's no exaggeration for me to say that Molly Ringwald / Andy Walsh is a core reason I moved here. Her, Dana Plato, Ferris Bueller. And now we're going to meet her, Dave, in our panel room.
Exciting.
I love Rog. America.
Newcastle 6, Norwich 2. Rog, Steve McLaren's side equal their goal total for the entire season. They explode, Rog. 4 goals from Jorginho Wijnaldum and 1 apiece from a Josi Perez and level-headed Serbian Alexander Mitrovic. Yeah, level-headed, so level-headed. Lift Newcastle off the bottom of the table. They now sit 18th ahead of Villa and Sunderland.
6 shots on net, 6 goals.
Yeah.
Phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
$22.4 million summer signing. Wijnaldum, Perez, Sissoko, Mitrovic.
Yeah.
Oh, when they gel, that fast-charging movement, it is devastating, high-octane football in attack. And yes, there's still the all-too-familiar glass jaw in defence, David. At BYUF tweeted us to say, apparently, Tim Krul was the one holding back this explosive Newcastle attack. I love Steve McLaren's face when the 6th goal went in. He just looked on bemused, the face on him. It was as if he was watching his team play and ignore everything he told them all week in training. Is this going to be a turning point for Newcastle season, David?
It could be, Rog. Or it couldn't be. We have no idea.
What we do know is it's the Tyne and Wear derby.
Yeah.
Next week against Sunderland, a game which has its own microclimate.
It really does, without a doubt, Rog. Southampton 2, Leicester 2. The Premier League writers get lazy and pen an all-too-familiar plotline. Leicester spot an opponent, 2 goals, then storm back behind Jamie Vardy. The England striker pulled the first back in the 66th minute before smashing home an equaliser in the 90th minute. Leicester remain one of only 2 teams that have lost only once this season. The other, Rog, Spursy.
Yeah. And they've won more points from losing positions than any other top-flight team this season.
Yeah.
7.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this victory, by the way, more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say this. The tactical acumen of Claudio Ranieri.
Yeah, the Tinker Man.
He's enjoying a late career resurgence. He's got a career arc like Robin Wright. Against Southampton, he dropped Mahrez.
Yeah.
Who'd been so electric. Here he brought him on as a sub alongside Nathan Dyer. And both blokes took turns to set up the rampant Vardy. 9 goals, your English Premier League leader. Leicester have now equaled a record 7 games unbeaten in the top flight. It's fantastic. I'm just happy for Ole White, David.
Yeah, no, it's amazing stuff. And Vardy just playing, a guy who's played football almost every league in English football. A fantastic story.
He's the English stuff. Premier League's Brady Anderson.
Swansea 0, Stoke 1. Mark Hughes' men with their 3rd on the trot thanks to a 4th-minute penalty from Boyan. After a slow start, the Potters are up to 11th. Swansea, meanwhile, dropped to 14th. What has happened to Swansea, Rog? Only 4 points clear of the relegation zone.
5 games without a win, plunging 10 places in the league. The passing and movement are muted. Bafotembi Gomez's patented goal celebration.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
Not seen so much of that recently. How have they become a mediocre team overnight?
I have no idea, Rog. I have no idea. They still look so good on the ball. But it's like, you're talking about players not showing up. Montero, what's happened to Montero? He was skinning. Remember that game when he just completely skinned? Or maybe it was just because it was Ivanovic.
Just because they outplayed Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think they could be victims of their own success, David.
Mm-hmm.
So many of their players who were once international journeymen are now leaders of teams headed into European tournament play.
Uh-huh.
Ashley Williams, Neil Taylor, Pot the Wales, love bandwagon. John Joe Shelvey, now an English international, John Joe Shelvey.
Yeah.
Jefferson Montero, you just talked about, he's been doing double duty with Comerball High Flyers Ecuador. Sigurdsson, part of the Icelandic glorious tale. For the first time, you've got Swansea players whose hearts and minds have been elsewhere.
Yeah.
And their style of play, that fine touching of the ball around the box, it demands total focus and calibration.
Uh-huh.
But good news, they head to Aston Villa this weekend, which should cure all that ails them.
This might be the one that Tim gets it right. It might be the game where Tim's not bored.
Rog,
West Brom 1, Sunderland 0. The baggies spoil Big Sam's Premier League return. A 54th minute crap goal from Saido Berahino leaves Sunderland as the lone top flight team without a win.
Oh, boy, does Big Sam look at home on the Sunderland bench already.
Yeah, I know. Looks relaxed. Looks like he's been there for a while, Rog. No,
he's coached four clubs over 14 years, but the way he's just sat there slumped and bored.
Here I am, Big Sam.
I've been
not
watching, he's not
to
see it. Yep, take me
just
as a team.
Football.
I call
football.
It like I see it.
Just football,
call
get
it
me
straight.
A pie.
Yep,
get pie. Me another pie and some beer.
He gave a start to Yedlin.
Yeah.
There was defensive solidity. There was a little in the way of forward threat.
Yeah.
And now we've got Big Sam against Steve McLaren in the Tyne and Wear derby.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. This is an amazing statistic, Davey. Sunday's match, the fourth time in four seasons that the derby falls on a new Sunderland manager's second match in charge.
That's amazing.
Paolo Di Canio, Gus Poyet, Dick Advocaat, they all won theirs.
Yeah.
Will the pie man.
Oh.
Will he do his duty?
Amazing, amazing stuff, Rog. In an MLS, the final weekend of an MLS's regular season is upon us, Rog. And the race for the Supporters' Shield comes down to Sunday. Both New York Red Bulls and FC Dallas are on 57 points with one game remaining. The Red Bulls play Chicago, who sit at the bottom of the Eastern Division and are eliminated from the playoffs. FC Dallas play San Jose, who are still in playoff contention. Red Bulls also have a 6-goal advantage in goal differential, the first tiebreaker. All MLS games will be played Sunday this weekend. The Eastern Conference plays at 5 p.m. Eastern time. The Western Conference plays at 7 p.m.
Are they all
Eastern
playing
time,
at the Rog? Same time?
Yeah.
It's going to be a Twitter fest.
Amazing. Rog, FIFA. Rog, news from FIFA land. Let's embezzle the money. Get apartments for all of our cats. The powers that be have decided on February 26th as the date for a presidential election, Rog, to see who will replace Sepp Blatter.
We'll have a new president, the first since 1998.
Yeah, I'm worried it's going to be Sepp Blatter.
And they'll just have changed his name.
Yeah, I have changed my name to John Smith, so clearly I am not Sepp Blatter.
To Nigel Blatter.
Yeah.
The Reform Committee put out a statement saying football fans and commercial partners will no longer accept anything short of full transparency in how football is governed. I'm actually sure...
They need Naismith.
I'm pretty sure that commercial partners will demand a complete lack of ongoing transparency. That's what attracted them in the first place. AP's Rob Harris noted, the Reform Committee also urged candour, respect, responsibility from their leaders, who then refused to speak to the press after the meeting. Plus Achons, other news, German bid for 2006 likely brought votes.
Ugh.
What is the surprise here? The only surprise would have been if the bid didn't involve brought votes. We had a great tweet from... Password is Taco, who says, will soccer only truly arrive in the US when we too care enough to buy ourselves a World Cup? We had a great letter from Brian Lux, Davey, who wanted to ask you a question. Sepp Blatter is going to be removed in disgrace. He'll face criminal charges. The question I'd like to ask Sepp Blatter is, how does it feel to know if you'd just stepped down 1 year earlier, you'd be free from all this scandal? You could have retired with dignity and a good reputation, sailed off to the sunset. No one would ever have known. Same could be said for Bernie Madoff, Pablo Escobar, and every other criminal leader who has been caught.
I don't know that we know for sure that it wouldn't have caught up with him or with any of those other guys, frankly. There you go. Yeah, he's not a man with a great sense of humility or a guy who you imagine looks in the mirror and sort of like thinks deeply about his own weaknesses
and
or things that he might have done wrong.
It's time for me to find a successor and cede power.
Yeah.
That's not in his vocabulary. The great PJ O'Rourke quote, we shouldn't test people for drugs. We should test them for stupidity, ignorance, greed, and love of power.
Yeah. US soccer, some much needed good news, Rog. The US under-23 team beat Canada 2-0 last Tuesday to advance to an Olympic qualifying playoff against Colombia. That playoff to determine who goes to Rio will be played over two legs in March. That thimbleful of daylight comes amidst otherwise dreary skies after last week's US men's national team results, Rog.
Yeah, the grim fallout continues after the loss to Mexico.
Yeah.
And in Costa Rica, the hangover, the 1-0 loss.
Yeah.
Which was numbing.
Yeah, it was.
Was it that the team had given up? Not exactly. It looked like an 11 that had lost their confidence, had no sense of belief, and were not really enjoying representing the United States of America together. Fear can just be debilitating for a football team. This looks like a team that's kicking the ball around with fear. We always joke, Dave, that decent football players become devoid of any talent when they pull on an England jersey. Mm-hmm. That shirt seems to weigh down the likes of Wayne Rooney, Raheem Sterling, John Terry, as if it was made of chainmail. And the US jersey used to imbue those who wore it with magical powers. But no longer. Scott Six tweeted, "Here's something I never thought I'd say. Don't worry, US soccer. It could be worse. We could be Dutch."
Oh, my God, yeah, failing to qualify for the Euros, Rog. I've got to call out also US soccer for the attendance of that game. Less than 10,000 over there in New Jersey at Red Bull Arena, Rog. We have called out England before when they failed to sell out Wembley for international friendlies. This is not a criticism of the Outlaws at all, or the American support doing an amazing job. Something went wrong in the marketing of that game. There is no way that the US men's national team at this stage in their history should be playing in front of so few fans. Inexcusable stuff.
And by
stuff,
fans,
Rog.
I think 8,000 of them were Costa Rican.
Our Ravens, Rog, the first one from Hunter Mason during our recent trip from New York City to LA for the CONCACAF Cup. My friend and I spent a good bit of time stuck in various airports, train stations and freeways. We had a lot of downtime to ponder some of life and football's great questions. Upon my friend lamenting about not being able to use the US women's national team members in his ultimate team, spawned our greatest debate of the trip. Who would be your starting 11 and coach your hypothetical United States mixed national team? What a great question. The rules are you must pick six players, manager, from each of the Von Trapps and Khaleesi's. After much debate, I've settled on my starting 11.
Go on.
My US co-ed national team, or USCNT, would be Hope Solo goal.
No Nick Raimondo, controversial.
Fabian Johnson, Julie Johnston, Jeff Cameron, Megan Klingenberg. By the way, Johnston and Cameron, that could be the central defensive partnership we've been looking for a long time. Midfield, Rapinoe, Bradley, Carly Lloyd, Yedlin, and then Bobby Wood slotting in behind Clint Dempsey up front. Or maybe the other way around. Interesting. You can just picture the overlapping runs on both flanks and the talls and smalls combination between Johnston and Cameron. The toughest decisions were who to pencil in at keeper. I chose Solo over Howard or Guzan to free up space to play Bobby Wood up top because the kid can ball. What would your USCNT 11 look like? Interesting. Great question.
More than interesting. God, yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. International co-ed football.
Yeah.
I would watch that. We need to get Barry Hearn to produce it worldwide.
Genius idea.
I'd have Sauer Brun in, Fabian out, Jeff Cameron into Jurgen's favoured right-back slot. Clint would come off the bench for me, David.
Yeah.
Jordan Morris, get your boots.
Yeah, it's interesting the way you approach it tactically. I mean, I wouldn't play Hope Solo in goal. As good as she is the greatest female goalkeeper in the world. But I think one of the things that just a very average male goalkeeper would actually do a lot better than a female goal. I think it'll make a big difference in that particular
Tim Howard's
position.
An above average male goalkeeper. That wasn't a euphemism.
No, I wasn't saying that. But I think that would make a big difference to the team. But I like some of the decisions. I really like the Julie Johnston, Jeff Cameron defensive partnership. That's excellent, Rog.
I would watch this. Someone at beIN Sports, I bet you, is putting it together as we speak.
It's a great idea. The winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Sucker, Scribe, Reverend of the Week is Alex Leipziger in Washington, D.C. Wow, this is a long one. I've got to take a deep breath before this. Okay, last year, I was lucky enough to have been in Brazil for the World Cup. While in Rio, I found myself on Ipanema Beach, beautiful beach, and suddenly spied a large crowd gathering around someone or something. I couldn't see through the mess of bodies, but I became giddy with excitement that it was one of the greats, Messi, Ronaldo, Howard. It was not without some disappointment that a lean, grey-haired man emerged. His movements were slow and sloth-like, his frame was drooped slightly, as were the mousy features on his withered visage. He was definitely not a current player, but his face was all too familiar. In the span of just a few seconds, Arsene Wenger's movements turned from one of leisure to one of purpose as he tried to put distance between himself and the surging crowd coalescing around him. And as his light jog turned into a sprint, we locked eyes, and I could see the mix of fear, confusion, and uncertainty within him at that moment. As a Spurs fan, I must admit that as he approached, I did think for a moment about tripping him. Oh, that's ungentlemanly. My more humane instincts prevailed that day, and I have no regrets. After passing within inches of me, Wenger tossed his shirt to a bewildered stranger and ran headlong into the ocean, swimming 50 yards into the sea in the mistaken hope that the crowd would disperse. When it did not, he attempted to swim parallel to the shoreline, but again the crowd refused to budge and continued to track his progress on land. This kept up for at least 10 to 15 minutes, at which point I left the scene as the stalemate continued. I've always wondered how it ended. Did he eventually come back to shore, or did he paddle back to England? Was he rescued by friendly fishermen or Theo Walcott in a kayak? More importantly, I've wanted to draw broader conclusions from the momentary glimpse of his soul in that moment of chaos. Does his fear and uncertainty in a crisis mean something more profound for his footballing philosophy or transfer policy? Perhaps you can help me pass this out, or at the very least, be entertained by the tale.
Oh, I spent the morning with Arsene Wenger right after that World Cup. He said the biggest change that he noticed in Brazil is in the past, people with American accents used to be able to walk right past them. But now they all know him because they're all in love with football. Yeah. He must have been talking about you, Alex. But whenever I feel sad, I simply Google Arsene Wenger Speedo. And you can see Arsene Wenger on the beach in Rio wearing the same swim outfit Daniel Craig wore in Casino Royale. Two human beings couldn't look more different emerging from the ocean in those outfits. All I say is, God, you made a wide array of nipples. That's all I'm saying.
BlazerCon Song Contest, Rod, since announcing our BlazerCon Song Contest on last week's pod, the entries have been pouring in. As you'll recall, we asked you to pen a tune that captures the unique experience of being a football fan in America. The early mornings, the Guinness for breakfast, tying yourself to teams thousands of miles away, your hometown MLS team, the US men's national team, the World Cup champion, US women's national team, all of it, Rog. If John Cougar Mellencamp wrote songs about Jack Kulback instead of Jack and Diane, how would they go? These can be original songs or just lyrics set to another song. Send entries to meninblazers@gmail.com. The winner receives two passes to BlazerCon and will see their song performed by a team of Broadway musicians, Rod.
Thank you, John Johnson.
Your weekend looks like this, courtesy of Mini USA, Rog. Arsenal versus Everton on Network NBC, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Can't wait for that. The Tyne Wear Derby, Big Sam and Sunderland versus Newcastle, 8 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday. That's on NBCSN. And the Manchester Derby, City go to United, 10:05 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday.
The clocks on go back
NBCSN.
Or forward. I can't remember which one.
Fall back on Saturday night. They fall back before they do here. And in an MLS, it's not just the Supporters' Shield, Rog. Games with big playoff implications. Columbus host DC United at 5 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday on Fox Sports 1. And at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, Sporting Kansas City versus, great time to be in Kansas City, Rog, versus LA Galaxy. LA looking for a playoff bye. And at the time of recording, Kansas City, one of four teams vying for the final three Western Conference playoff spots, Rog. There are many ways to connect to us. One is our Amazon Emporium. Helps keep the show going. Anytime you go to Amazon, Fridays, Biggles, Waters, or the Emporium page, and Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage of that. So it's got the cost of creating the show. What are you putting in the Emporium this week, Rog?
A book. Oh. John Cross, Arsene Wenger, the inside story of Arsenal.
Wow.
Under Wenger.
This has been a very Arsenal-heavy podcast today.
Well, I think it's a fantastic book. It reads a little bit like The Innovator's Dilemma, the classic business book of what an innovator should do when he's revolutionised the sector. To what extent should they aim to perfect their product? To what extent should they keep innovating? What comes across is the extent to which Wenger, like Sir Alex, has thrown himself into every tiny detail at Arsenal, moulded the entire club to fit his exacting vision. You read this book and you kind of realise that whoever takes over is going to have no easy feat. And one interesting note, Davo, Wenger is an amazing dancer.
Oh.
It's a great book for any Arsenal fan, especially those who miss the glory Wenger years and want to understand the real measure of his greatness.
Need to get him on Strictly Come Dancing, the British version of Dancing with the Stars. Rog, two words for you, and those words are ceramic knives. I've gone heavy. I've gone deep, Rog, into ceramic knives. These are some excellent ones available on Amazon. Checkered Chef ceramic kitchen knife set. Four knives plus holder slash block bonus stainless steel scissors. Ceramic knives, every bit as good as steel knives, Rog. And a bargain, so inexpensive. $27.95 for this set. And the scissors, just a bonus, Rog. Okay, you can now watch entire episodes of our crap TV show on NBC Sports Live Extra, Apple TV and Roku. It's also up on our website, meninblazers.com. Also on meninblazers.com, Rog, a place to sign up for our newsletter, The Raven, which we produce with our partner, Guinness. We're going to a Guinness event this week. I'm very excited about that. And check out our Spotify account, men_in_blazers. We've just posted a BlazerCon playlist.
Oh, thank you, Lexi Tenholtz.
Meninblazers.wikispaces.com, a wonder of the modern world. You can follow us on Twitter, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davies, at Men in Blazers. On Instagram, at Men in Blazers, at Embassy_Davies. On Facebook, we got one of those too. We got a subreddit, meninblazers.reddit.com, maintained by GFOB's Akshay, Calvin and Alex. Please send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendorpunked.
Warpig.
Who wants to sex Madumbo?
Explosion.
Courage.
Take that, Gloria.
Is that your analysis?
Corduroy is coming.
It's already here. Abrigado, rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America.
Love you, Rog.
Love you, Davo. Love you, Jaden Smith.
BlazerCon November 13th. Oh, November 14th.